So this morning, we're going to preach from Psalm 1. And the subject of this morning is, and you've heard pastors say it multiple times, obedience precedes blessings. Obedience precedes blessings. Because without obedience, some blessings we will never, ever get an opportunity to enjoy. Jesus Christ humbled himself and was obedient to God the Father. And we are the results of Jesus Christ's obedience. Because if he would have chosen at any particular point in time, choose not to obey God the Father. Many times he said, I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of the one that sent me. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And it amazes me. I have to remind myself that I used to be lost. Because sometimes we think more highly of ourselves than we ought. And we think we did things much better than we did. Because we have selective, when we remember, we do it selectively. We don't truly remember what really happened. No, ask your parents. Ask the people that you grew up with. They'll tell you. They will be absolutely truthful. With. Sometimes they go beyond. They tell you you were worse than you really were. But we were in a bad condition. We were under the wrath of God, designated for destruction. But Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. That lost was really those that were designated to be destroyed. And we were in that place. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 1 through 3 talks about our spiritual conditions before Christ Jesus. So were some of you. We were children of wrath. Purpose to be destroyed. But Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the mercy of God. Revealed mercy of God, the grace of God, that he came down through 42 generations, born of a virgin. The son was given, but the baby was born, and he had to grow up. He had to grow up just like you and I grew up, under the nourishment of his mother, earthly mother, and his earthly father. And they walked him through life. And then as he was being revealed as the Messiah, he went to John the Baptist to be baptized. And John the Baptist said, I'm not worthy to baptize you. You ought to be baptized me, but that scripture may be fulfilled. And when he came up out of the water, heavens opened up. And the Spirit of God descended like a dove. And God the Father said, this is, just in case you get it twisted, this is. John the Baptist is not my son, although they thought John the Baptist was the true prophet. Many came saying they were Jesus Christ, but God the Father said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And the Bible said the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days. 40 days Jesus Christ was tempted. And he stayed the course. Because if he would have deviated at all, we would have been lost forever. And he loved us, but he was obedient. So he was our example. Therefore, we have to be obedient if we want to experience the blessings of God. So if you're not in Psalm 1, please turn there. So first of all, we're going to talk about the practice of being obedient if you want to receive these blessings. So verse 1 talk about the practices. Verse 2 talks about the passion. Verse 3 talks about the permanence. And then verses 1, 2, and 3, we have to proclaim the word of God because you can look and see the results of the wicked, the ungodly. People are dying every day. Are you telling any about Jesus Christ on a daily basis? Or do you not care? As we look at our family members, knowing they're doing ungodly stuff, and we can tell the truth by what? It's true. It's easy to say, well, they're going to be okay. Based on what? Because sooner or later, they will draw their last breath. I know years ago, we went over to a church off East Brainerd. I forget the name of the road. It turns off East Brainerd. But there was they were having a play. I think it was doing Easter or Halloween. I forget exactly which day. But this young man in the play now, and he was the character that was playing Christ. But he was just unruly. He wouldn't, cooperate with the people, and he was just all over the place. And later on, of course, they took us through some other turns, and they had an accident. And this kid and his sister died in accident. Then, of course, they brought us back in the sanctuary. The sanctuary had a huge balcony, and up there, and they had, I won't say Christ, but they had a person portraying Christ, welcoming people into heaven, and his sister came into heaven. And then they took us out of there and took us behind the stage, and it was pitch black. Of course, I'm concerned we had little people, and they were scared. I mean, but as soon as you open a door, the young man was there in hell saying, "Why did you not tell me? Why did you not tell me that hell was real? Who are you telling that hell is real?" Because if we don't remind people of their destination, if they're on the Broadway, sooner or later, the Broadway leads to destruction. And we always have to keep the destination in mind. Because if they're not on the narrow way, which will lead to life, they're on the Broadway. There is no other way. And that's what this Psalms talks about. 1, 2, 3 talks about the godly man or the godly child of God. And then 4 and 5 talks about the ungodly. And then verse 6 talks about the separation. But we have to tell people. We have to. Because if not, how will they know? We can't sit on our hands and say, "Well, somebody else will tell them." What if they don't? Ezekiel talks about, "You are a watchman on the wall. The enemy is coming, and you see the enemy, and you refuse to warn the people. The blood of those people are going to be required at your hands. You're going to have blood on your hands. And just like Pilate tried to wash it off, you can't wash this blood off either." But first of all, you have to know what to tell the people. Do you know the gospel? Do you truly know the gospel? What it takes to get people, at least expose them to the gospel, because God has to save. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1, 2, 3, 4, walk you through the gospel. Paul said, according to scripture, and it has to be according to the word of God, that Jesus Christ died according to the scripture. He was buried according to the scripture. But early Sunday morning, we celebrated Easter last Sunday. Amen. The resurrection occurred. We can't leave him in the grave. We have to get him out of the grave. We can't just say he lived and died. Everybody that's died lived and died. Everybody that died was buried at some point. But Jesus Christ got up. That's the good news. And because he got up, we can live, and we can tell other people that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, living Lord and Savior, not a dead Lord and Savior. All the other religions are dealing with dead gods. They have to pack their gods in and take them from A to B. What kind of God is that? What kind of God that you have to make with your own hands or go to the store and buy them? What can that God do for you? He can't even do anything for himself. What can he do for you? But yet people are lost. And God created us to worship him. And if we don't worship him, we're going to worship somebody or something. Because there is a huge desire in us to worship. So the ungodly, we're going to look at verses 4 and 5 and then go back to 1, 2, 3 and then end with 6. Amen. So verse number 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. So the ungodly is mentioned, and is really a great definition in Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." So here's the imagery. If you ever been to the beach, you ever have a beach ball? If you take a beach ball out into the water and suppress it in, that's what it is. These people know the truth, because if you don't know the truth, how can you suppress it? They know the truth. They've been exposed to the truth. How often do people come into the church and hear what thus saith the Lord and yet and still refuse to believe it? That's what the ungodly does. The ungodly knows the truth, yet they take it and suppress it. And if you suppress the truth, all there is a lie. So they suppress the truth, believe the lie, and they change the corruptible, incorruptible God into corruptible man and beast and birds. And they refuse to believe the truth that has been revealed. The word of God say God himself has revealed the truth about himself, even in creation. Yeah, that's right. So if you look at creation, if it's a creation, it has to be something behind the creation. If it's a creation, it had to be created. If it's been created, it has to be a creator. But the very truth that's been revealed, God said the invisible attributes has been revealed based on the physical. So the man that refused to believe the truth, suppress the truth in unrighteousness, is without excuse. People know right from wrong intrinsically. Because if not, you would have all kind of, and you do have all kind of ungodly stuff going on just out and open. But if people thought it was truth, they would be doing everything out in the open, but they don't. They hide. They do it at night. Because they recognize that it's wrong. The man up in Indiana that's running for president, he is a declared homosexual. He has a partner. I don't know if Indiana, if it's legal to marry or not, same sex. But he said he's a follower of Jesus Christ. Because we've made our own God. And based on my God said it's okay for me to live the way I want to live. But even in that, I'm sure he has standards. But they suppress the truth. And then God turned them over. When you get an opportunity, read verses 18 through 32 in Romans chapter 1. And you'll constantly hear, God turned them over. God turned them over. Because they refuse the truth. And you believe the lie, therefore it just kept going downhill. So that's the ungodly. Ungodly. And then chaff. You know, chaff is what actually the covering of wheat. So in the back in the day when they actually, you know, harvest the wheat, they would lay it out and let it dry. And then it dried to a point where they would get their winnowing fork and just throw it up. And the wheat would fall down, but the chaff would be driven away by the wind. The wind, pneuma, the wind, the spirit of the true and living God. The Holy Spirit is the wind that drives the ungodly away. And not only that, Matthew chapter 7, and then Jesus really starts to talk about do not judge. Come all the way down, seek, ask, knock. And then he gets to where he says, many of you would say, Lord, Lord. He said, why do you call me Lord and do not what I say? And they said, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? And Jesus did not disagree with them. But he said, depart from me. They will be driven away. The ungodly, just like chaff, they will be driven away. John talks about you will be burned with unquenchable fire. This fire will never go out. And it's really hard for us to comprehend that, right? Because on this side, event, you can put the fire out. If you don't put it out, you just let it go out. But the wrath of God is the fire that we'll be burning in a lake of fire. And the wrath is eternal, just like God is eternal. And the Bible says that ungodly is not so. They will not be like the godly man. They will not be like the blessed man. But at some point, there will be a separation. The wind will drive the chaff away. Then number five, therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. The ungodly, the one that has purpose in their heart to disobey God, the ungodly. Now, it's not saying that they will not be judged. Amen? Because they will be judged. Matter of fact, they're being judged now. Goes back to Romans chapter 1 and said the judgment of God is against them today. That's the reason he's turning them over to what they really want to do. They're being judged. They're being judged when they leave one house of worship and go to another house of worship because this house of worship is not scratching them where they itch. This house of worship is not tickling them. They're judged based on those that say they're proclaiming the word of God, but they are false. They're false. But God is not mocked. Amen. As a man soweth, so shall he also reap. The word of God said, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap from the flesh. The ungodly. People that purposely go against the word of God. And it would be okay if they leave us alone, right? But not only are they going against the word of God, but they're trying to encourage us to go against the word of God. But the ungodly will be judged. Revelation chapter 20 talks about the white throne seat of Christ. The word of God said the books will be open. I just mentioned you will reap what you sow. And somebody's keeping tabs on everything that the ungodly does. Excuse me. Everything. You just think about a couple of weeks ago, the Mueller report came down, right? Everybody was waiting on that report. One group of people were saying, hopefully he'll be exonerated. The other group of people say, hey, we hope we give enough information to impeach. But everybody was looking at that book, that report over 400 pages. But one day, brothers and sisters, if you're not in Jesus Christ, there will be a report on you. And it's going to have your name on it. We don't know how many pages there will be. But if you're not found in the Lamb's book of life, the books will be open. And you're going to reap what you sow. So if you're not in the Lord Jesus Christ now, because we don't have to wait. You can get saved at any particular point in time. Because the next moment is not promised to us. But we think we have time. I'm a young man. I can do what I want to do. And then, right before I draw my last breath, just like the man on the cross, said, Lord, when you come into paradise, remember me. But every day, people are dying. Not a specific age group, but it's going from your first breath could be your last breath. And then you could live to over 100 years old. We don't know. But we know one day, according to Scripture, Hebrews 9:27 says, it has been appointed unto man to die. And then the judgment. The ungodly will be judged. The ungodly is being judged right now. But we have to tell them. We have to tell them that one day, if you don't have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ, you're going to have to stand before an almighty God that knows everything. And he's going to tell the angels, bring the books. You're going to let that person know you're ungodly. And you're unrighteous. And without the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ, you cannot stay in the presence of God, not in his heavenly home. I want to impress that on your heart. Who did you tell about Christ this week? Who did you tell about Christ last week? Who did you tell about Christ this year? And if you don't tell them, who will? Will the preacher tell them? How many people have you brought to hear the preacher? No, it's time out for playing. It's serious. Because people are dying every day. Granted, if you tell them, it does not necessarily mean they're going to get saved. But you have met your obligations. And that's what you can't control. You want to control everything that you can control. Amen? But we have a huge responsibility. Huge responsibility. You know, what if you got some great news? Great news. Absolutely great news. Would you not tell people? What is better than the gospel? That is the good news. That's the great news. That God became man to reconcile man back to God. Because there was a rift between man and God. And there had to be a God-man standing in the gap to reconcile us back to God. We're new creations in Christ Jesus, right? We have a message in this vessel. The vessel is not anything, but it's the message in the vessel. And we have to share the message in the vessel to everybody. Because if not, is it really good news? Because it's easy to say, I love the Lord with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I'm sure, you know, when you met that girl, guys, you wanted to tell everybody, man, I think I found her. She's the one. But I've looked high and low and finally. And she said yes. Not only is she the one, but she said yes. Apparently she thinks she's the one as well. Would you not tell somebody? You'd get on the phone. You'd tell everybody. And you know, marriage will only last as long as you live on this side. There's no marriages in heaven. And some of you may think, be thinking, thank God. Just one lifetime's enough. Lord, Lord, you told me just one time. don't tell me, Lord, I gotta stop. I've carried my cross, Lord, and I've been crucified enough, but nevertheless. But we have to be about God's business. We have to be. But the way, excuse me, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. You know, church is for saved folk. Now, because in church, the word of God is preached, proclaimed, taught. If you don't have the spirit of the true and living God, you can't understand it. Because the word of God is spiritually discerned. Amen. Now, granted, you bring sinners in. Absolutely. Bring sinners in so they can be exposed to the word of God. So we can hold Jesus Christ up. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. So we always want to lift Jesus Christ up. But more than importantly, we want to make sure we tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, because the ungodly will not sit in the congregation of the righteous, the sinners. And the sinners is that one that's missing the mark. The sinner sin, and sin really means that you're missing the mark. The holiness of God is the mark. Perfection is the mark. How many of you are perfect? No, not one. Therefore, we all miss the mark. But thanks be to God for 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and willing to forgive us all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we don't have to stay there. The Bible said if somebody is caught in sin, a brother and sister is caught in sin, we have to go to them in a spirit of meekness and in the spirit. Because if you're not spiritual, you go to someone, two fleshly folk, that's not going to go very well. But we want to love them so much as if we're in the sin. But we have to love them so much that we don't want them to stay there. Because we know that that will not end well. We know it won't end well. But the sinner is missing the mark on purpose. But by nature, they can't help it. They can't. They don't even want the things of God. But the sinners will not sit in the congregation of the righteous. So now we understand what the ungodly and sinner is. Let's go back to verse 1. Blessed is the child of the true and living God. Blessed is the man. The man is really the term for humankind. Blessed. The only way you could be blessed or blessed is that you're in Jesus Christ. So if you're not a follower of Christ, you can't enjoy the blessings of Christ. Granted, it rains on the just as well as the unjust. That's general grace, but specific grace has been given to you and to me to really enjoy the blessings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. First Corinthians, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 said, we've been blessed. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing located in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So everything we need is in Christ Jesus, but we have to operate in Christ Jesus to enjoy the very blessings we have that are in him. So blessed is the man that walks not, right? And that walk is a lifestyle, an intentionality, one that we've purposely chosen our hearts and mind to go in a specific direction, that walks not in a counsel of the ungodly. So as a follower of Jesus Christ, we cannot be blessed in the Lord and walk after the counsel of the ungodly. Told you who the ungodly are. They don't want anything to do with the Lord. They don't want anything to do with Christians. Don't want anything to do with the church except when they reap benefits from the church. How often do you see ungodly people come into church with a hat in their hand and say, I need this, that, or the other? But more importantly, we need to give them the gospel because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all those that believe. We need to give them that, even if we don't have the physical means to meet a physical need. Their spiritual need is much greater than their physical need. Because whatever we give them to help meet their physical need, eventually they're going to need again. But don't put yourself in a position where you're going walking after the counsel of the ungodly. So from where do you get your counsel? So now let's look farther into that. How many of you watch ungodly television shows? And somebody raising their hand. Don't raise your hand. How many of you listen to ungodly music? How many of you read ungodly material? Facebook. Because if you stay in the company long enough, you will start to think that way. And the word of God and Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death. We start to think that way. We start to believe what they believe. Then the word of God say, nor standeth in the path of sinners. Now, it's amazing the digression. You walking. You know, it's hard to really comprehend what somebody's saying when you're walking with them. And if they really want you to listen well, guess what? They say, whoa, stop. Let's stop. Right. Because as you're walking, you're trying to do multiple things. You're trying to make sure you don't slip a trip or fall. You're trying to listen to them. And wherever you're going, you're thinking about what you're going to do when you get where you're going. But then they say, wait, let's just stop. And if you stand in the path of sinners long enough, you're going to start to behave like they behave. Birds of a feather. And the word of God in 1 Corinthians 15:33 said, good, bad company corrupts good morals. If you stay there long, and it's very rare that you pull somebody up. Usually they're pulling you down. And it's amazing what people can convince you of, right? How many people have to do the wrong thing before it becomes right? They say, well, everybody else is doing it. You remember telling your parent that? But everybody else is doing it. And when did your parents say, I don't care how many people are doing it. I'm responsible for you. But it's amazing. Just think about the abortions. It's legal. And more people think it's okay. The more something is done, the more and more people feel like, well, it's normal. But it does not matter how many people say it's normal. The word of God say, do not murder. It does not care if the same sex marriage is legal or not. The word of God say, that's an abomination. And we have to stand on the word of God. Because the truth needs no help. But lies always have to be propped up. Constantly propping it up. But the truth will stand, period. Because Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the truth stands. But we have to make sure we don't stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. And then you really, really belong to them. So you start to believe what they believe. You start to behave like them. And the next thing you know, you belong to them. People look at you and they can't tell, okay, who's in the church? And I have to throw this in here. I was over at Tompkins Chapel third Saturday. I was talking to this brother from Mount Perrin, and he was saying that people looked at him, this specific lady looked at him and said, you're a preacher, aren't you? I said, how can you tell? This is just something about you. And then he heard this other guy said, he said, man, I was in the store, and this lady said, you're a preacher, aren't you? And he said, how can you tell? She said, because I smell chicken on your breath. But can people tell if you're a follower of Christ or not? The Bible said, come out from among them. You know, when the children of Israel were going in to conquer the land, God gave them specific laws to follow. Don't intermarriage. Kill everybody, because when you don't, you will start taking on their characteristics. Lot. In chapters 13, 14, and 19 of Genesis. Chapter 13, Lot and Abraham, people had strife. So Abraham said, okay, Lot, you know, we don't want to have strife. So you choose whatever place you choose. I will choose what you don't choose. So Lot looked over and he chose what he thought was the best. 13, and then he go down, headed to Sodom and Gomorrah. And eventually he ended up there. So he started walking, and then he stood, and then he belonged, because in chapter 14, kings came in and actually captured Lot, pulled him out. God came and told Abraham, hey, your son has been captured. He go and capture them all back, take them all back, and Lot goes right back to Sodom and Gomorrah. You would think Lot would learn. And then chapter 19. So the angel showed up and said, we're going to destroy everything. You need to get out. And he started bargaining with the angels. And then, brothers and sisters, he went to tell his future son-in-laws, and they did not believe him. He was to the point where his testimony was tore up. See, he walked, he stood, and he sat. Matter of fact, when the angels came in, he was sitting at the gates of the city. He had reclined. When the men came in to get the angels, and they were saying, who are you? How are you a judge of us? It's hard to judge somebody if you smack dab in the middle of it. It's hard to tell people about Jesus Christ when you live in as if there is no Christ. But if you walk with them, you stand with them, and eventually you belong to them. So that's the practice. That's what you should not do. And here is what you should do. Verse 2. So blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of an ungodly, stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. So the scornful, before I move from scornful of those that ridicule, always tearing folk down. They have nothing to say about good about the things of God, about the people of God. Do you know that person you hate to see them coming? Like, oh, here we go. Oh. Now, brothers and sisters, how many people hate to see you coming? Now, granted, hopefully, if that's the case, because they don't want to hear about Christ. Because they don't want to hear about what you did on Sunday. I know she's going to tell me about the sermon on Sunday, and I don't want to hear it. I know he's going to talk about it, ask me, do I have anything for him to pray for me? I don't want to hear all that. But shame on you if you're always tearing people down in the workplace. See somebody at the grocery store. Every time they see you or in church, let me tell you about so-and-so. Why not pray for so-and-so? Because we all need prayer. Even when we realize, when we might not necessarily recognize it, we need prayer. But in his law, he has delight. That's his passion, or that's her passion. The word of God. Because the word of God will keep us on a straight and narrow path. Psalm 119, I think of verse 11, says, how can a young man keep his ways pure? By applying the word of God. So we have to delight in the word of God. We have to love the word of God. Because in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The word is Jesus Christ. Based on the word, we know that we are sinners, deserving to be separated from God's love. But God, being rich in mercy, brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We would have never known that we've had this second birth except the word of God. The word of God shoots it straight. And then you look at all the people in the word of God. They were just like us. Had issues. But thanks be to God, just like the woman had the issue of blood, that we can fall down on our knees and just reach out. Because Jesus Christ is perfectly positioned. He's always in arm's reach. We just reach out. But we would know that unless we had the word of God. And the blessings only comes into reality when we obey the word of God. We have to obey the word of God. We want to delight in the word of God. But these blessings, keep in mind, they are conditional. Blessed is the man who delights in the word of God and meditates on the word of God day and night. And first of all, before you can meditate on the word of God, you have to be exposed to the word of God. Amen. You have to either read and or hear the word of God. And then you want to seek understanding in the word of God. And then you want to memorize the word of God. And then you want to get to the point where you meditate all the time. You need to think about the words of God. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if you're thinking about the word of God, the way of God, the will of God, every waking moment, it's going to direct your path. It's going to keep you on a straight and narrow path. You're not going to veer to the left nor to the right, but you're going to seek after God and receive the blessings of God. When you have a lot of cares, what does the Bible say? Cast them all on him. That's conditional. If we don't cast them on him, then we're going to carry them around. Why? When Christ said, I care for you, cast them over here. If you're laboring on a heavy laden, what did he say? Come to me. But we have to come. We have access to it. But we have to appropriate the blessings of God through our obedience. But if we choose not to obey, why should we expect any good thing from God? 2 Kings chapter 4, the widow woman. Her son just died. And apparently they had a huge debt. Excuse me, her husband just died. They had a huge debt. And the debtors were coming to actually take her sons to pay the debt. Elisha showed up. And she went to Elisha. Here's the situation, Elisha. He said, okay, what do you have in your house? What vessels? She said, well, I have oil. He said, well, get as many vessels, borrow as many vessels as you possibly can borrow. And, of course, she sent her sons, all of her neighbors, and got as many empty vessels as possible. He said, now just pour out the oil and pour until it runs out. And, of course, you know the story. She poured in the first vessel. The oil kept flowing, so she went to the next vessel. And eventually, all the vessels in her home were filled. And then she was asking, son, okay, where are the other vessels? And I said, there aren't any more. And the oil stopped. And then she told Elisha, Elisha, okay, sell everything, all the oil you have, and then you will live on the money that you gain from the oil. That's the same thing we have. Just like she had to obey the man of God, we have to obey the word of God to enjoy the blessings of God. But if we don't obey, why should we expect any good thing from God? How many of you want to be blessed? Nobody? How many of you want to receive the, enjoy the blessings of God? Because the reservoir is full. It will never, ever, we talked about the blood, will never lose its power. Well, we have to appropriate the blood. And we have to appropriate the power that we have. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul's praying that your eyes may be enlightened, that you may understand what we have in Jesus Christ. We have so much more in Christ than we could ever, 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 ever enjoy. But we've forfeited so many blessings because we've been disobedient. But we have to meditate on the word of God. Turn it over and over and over and over in your heart and mind. Even if you don't understand it, continue to meditate and ask God to give you understanding. Ask God to give you insight. Ask God to give you an opportunity to apply the word of God. Because this is what entails in this word meditate. You have to be exposed either through hearing or reading. You have to study the word of God. You have to memorize the word of God and meditate on the word of God to apply the word of God. It's not about just getting knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, the Bible says. We have to look for opportunities to apply the word of God. And when we apply the word of God, verse 3, we will be like a tree. And in the Bible, it says planted, but really it's transplanted. God has taken your tree out of the barren land where you used to live and transplanted over here by the rivers of water, which is Jesus Christ himself. As long as we abide in him, fruit will be produced. And the word of God say fruit will be produced in due seasons. Amen. So there will be a season where fruit may not necessarily look like it's being produced, but could keep abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we're waiting on his time, not our own. Don't look at somebody else's life and say, man, they're going to hell because I don't see any fruit. They've been coming to church year after year after year. Granted, now we have some part to play in that. Because we have to desire the word of God just like a babe desire the milk, the newborn desire the milk. We have to study to show ourselves approved. A workman need not be ashamed, but be able to rightly divert the word of truth. We have a responsibility. It's sad, brothers and sisters, where you have people been truly born again for many years and still babes. When you ought to be teaching, you still need to be taught, not only taught, but the elementary things. We can't get beyond John 3:16. We can't get beyond Genesis 1. In the beginning was, in the beginning, God. But you have a responsibility. You have to open up the word of God. You have to read and understand the word of God. I remember when I got saved early on, I would just, because I would work 2 and 3 days a week. Now, I was full time, so keep that in mind. Just the job I had. And I would be at home studying. I would just pick up the phone and call one of the elders, and I would just jump right in. I wouldn't tell him the verse. I wouldn't tell him the book. I would just, hey, what about it? And he knew exactly where I was coming from. And then he'd walk me through it. And I had the mindset, I did not want anybody to know more than I did. So I would read, I would study, I would listen, I would do everything possible to know. And we have the same access. You don't need Pastor O'Gwen to pray for you. Granted, he will, but you can pray for yourself. As if he has a better relationship with God. We're all children on the same level. I got 2 daughters. They don't, so where you go ask daddy, because you're more likely to get it if you, it comes from you. No. They come and ask. And sometimes they say, dad, I know you're going to say no. And I'm thinking, well, why ask? But the Bible said we have not because we ask not. The Bible says, ask and it will be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. Once again, we have to ask. We have to seek. We have to knock. Matthew chapter 6. 6:33 talks about seek first the kingdom of God. But before that, all these things, and that's what the things that we've added to you. But we have to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the Bible says all these things will be added. Not might be. Will be added. Granted, it may not necessarily come in the form that we want it to come in. I may be saying to the Lord, I'm hungry. I may be thinking one meal and it may give something else. But my need was met. Just like the children of Israel, they were hungry. God sent manna from heaven, but it was outside the camp. They still had to go and get the manna. It would have been a sad commentary if they starved to death with all this manna around. Then, of course, they got tired of manna. And God sent them quail. Said, I'm going to give you quail till it's running out your nostrils. Because they complained and they died. We have to be satisfied with what God chooses to give us. But we don't know that unless we meditate on the word of God. We're planted by the tree of rivers of water. And then fruit. God will be the fruit producing agent. Not us. But our goal should be much fruit. John 15:1, right? Much fruit. That should be our goal. To be as fruitful as possible and meet all our potential in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then our leaf will not wither. First of all, there are going to be opportunities for our leaves to wither. There's going to be hot times. There's going to be troubling times in our lives. But if we stay firm, we have no reason to have withered leaves. But we have to stay planted in the word of God. Troubled times will come. The Bible said those that seek to desire to live godly will be persecuted. That scoffer, scornful, they're going to talk about you. They're going to try to tear you down to your so-called friends, because if they can tear you down and your so-called friends believe you, they really were not your friends. But you're going to be talked about. You're going to be mistreated. But the Bible says, love your enemies. This application of the word of God is difficult. Matter of fact, it's impossible on our own. But empowered by the Holy Spirit, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we have to be willing to do the all things according to the word of God, because we've been empowered to do the all things based on the word of God. And we have to truly seek to please God, not man. Because if we seek to please man, what are you saying about God? Man is more important than you. I love man more than I love you. Because the word of God said, Christ said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So when we're not obeying the word of God, we're telling Christ, I don't love you. And the Bible said, love the Lord thy God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that love is in the present tense. Continually. Because anytime we're not loving God, we're loving the world. We're loving the flesh. We're loving the devil. But we have to truly trust and seek to please him. Because we're in him and all our blessings are in him. And as long as we are in him, whatever he does shall prosper. We will reach a level of prosperity. But only based on the word, the way, and the will of God. Not prosperity according to the world. Because you could experience joy with $0 in your pocket. And I'm sure we say, I'll take your word for that, preacher. But you don't have to have things to enjoy the Lord. Because my God is able to supply all of your needs according to his riches in Jesus Christ. Because you got people with pockets full of money that are miserable because they're ungodly. And we know where they're going to end. And they're going to end in verse 6. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Because Jesus Christ is the way of the righteous. These righteous are not righteous based on their own righteousness, but they're righteous in Jesus Christ. We're covered by his blood, and his blood has deemed us righteous. We have been justified, declared righteous in Jesus Christ. By faith, you have been saved. And it's all about him, and we receive his righteousness. But he knows our way because he is the way. Amen. He's marked out our way. The word of God said, lean not on your own understanding, all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct our path. So we're walking in the straight and narrow way. He knows our way. But the ungodly will perish. Not meaning they will cease to exist. Not that they will be annihilated. But they will only experience the wrath of God. Because when they had opportunities on this side, they shook their fists in the face of God. So I do my own thing, my own way, and I don't want anything to do with you. How would you feel if your child did you that way? Keitha, what would you do? 911, you better hurry up. Hurry up. Because the longer it takes you to get there, the closer I'm going to get. But man, created by God, take their fists and use the very strength, the very breath that God is allowing, and turn around and shake their fist in God's face. And he just take his hand off of them and leave them to themselves, and they will spiral down. Down, down, down. But the blood of Jesus has washed us, washed us, washed us. And we have access to the very blessings of God. Faith is the key that opens up the locker with all the blessings in. Because faith is obedience. Book of James said, faith without works is dead. So I demonstrate my faith by my works, by my obedience to God. And I close on this story. It was this man. He was an escaped criminal. And of course, the prison guards got dogs and they was tracking him down, tracking him down. I mean, they were on him, and he could hear the dogs barking, and he's running and running and running. He got one goal in mind. If I can make it to the creek, and if I can get through the creek, I'm free and clear. So the closer he got to the creek, the closer the dogs got. I mean, they were vicious dogs. The guards had let the dogs go because the guards are slowing the guards down. And of course, surely the dogs probably been about 20 yards, and the man jumped in the water and went under and came out on the other side, and the dogs lost the scent. Brothers and sisters, over 2,000 years ago, the hounds of hell was on our track. And we were running as fast as we could, but the faster we ran, the much faster they ran. And they were gaining and gaining and gaining, and Jesus Christ lifted us up and put us in his blood and washed us clean. And all the stench of sin, all the stench of our disobedience was washed away. And what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So Jesus has washed us. And he continues to wash us. Yes, we may fall down and stumble, fall down and break his heart, but he continues to pick us up and encourage us. And he's placed us in this local assembly of people to encourage us. Yes, we fall short, but let's not stop there. Your story should end there. Your story should end when you hear God the Father say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Amen. Amen. So let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We pray, Father God, that you help us to realize that we should never walk in the path of, in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But help our delight be in the law of the Lord,